try to kill yourself in there?
My headphones fell apart.
This is a Friday song.
I can't afford new headphones.
Can't you?
So, the
pair back there you can have.
Well, these sound good, but they just fall off my head if I don't attach them right.
Well, Brand said he wanted some Worse Wind and Fire, so what the heck? Let's have some fun.
And he's not here
and
to appreciate it.
And he's not here to enjoy it. Appreciate it, yeah. It is the trifecta 590 WKZO. Nice to have you here. Brand is here, Brand Iden, Kalamazoo County Commissioner. He's on the phone, I know. I passed him in the hallway. And Roger and me, Jim. A couple of texts that we got while we were goofing off during CBS News. Why don't we spend that whopping $8,000 per year on prisoners and the $30,000 or $40,000 per year for prisoners on students, primary as well as college? Good point. I could deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd make that trade every day and twice on Sunday.
Sure.
The other question is directed to you, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Ask Roger if rich white liberals are as irrelevant as rich white conservatives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they
I knew the answer to that.
They shouldn't be buying the government with all their money either.
Yeah, there you go.
And okay. The only reason I brought up that these are all rich people is that that shows you their political perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't poor people who refused to go to the White House.
No. Rich athletes and other people.
Yeah.
And Ozzie Guillen, who's a tool anyway. So
they're athletes. What does that
yeah.
That means they play football or basketball
or
something.
Or baseball or something. Yeah.
That's nice, but it's not a real meaningful skill.
This is true. Well, anyway, it is the trifecta brought to you in part by Theater Kalamazoo, home to more than a dozen producing theaters in Southwest Michigan. Visit theaterkalamazoo.com for a full listing of theaters and upcoming shows. I bet you didn't know.
You bet I didn't know
I
what?
Bet you didn't know.
What?
That the Obama administration has asked the U.S. Supreme Court last week, by the way,
mm-hmm.
to issue a ruling that would be a precedent-setting ruling. I mean, we're talking precedent-setting ruling that the Fourth Amendment somehow will allow for warrantless searches of personal cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, this is the guy who signed indefinite detention in the law with a signing statement that he'd never do that. This is the guy that let the NSA run amok, and now he wants to let the NSA run amok even more. Obama has never been on my Christmas card list.
And his either.
And he's getting further and further from being acceptable the more he denigrates the Bill of Rights.
This just will not go away. And I don't understand why the administration wants to... Now, I at one time said I didn't have any problem with somebody listening in on my conversations because they really don't give a rip one way or another because my conversations aren't that big a deal. If it's going to stop a terrorist in their track, yeah, I'm all for that. But I think I'm beginning to kind of come around a little, and there's something to say for probable cause. I don't know if that's a... I watch Dragnet a lot, and probable cause is one of those things that pops up a lot. So the administration's petitioning the Supreme Court. Now, here's the reason why they're doing this. They want to rule that a cell phone search is, in fact, lawful because, using the quoting fingers, a cell phone is no different from any other object the suspect might be carrying and thus fair game for searches. Now, you two both know, having watched television and seen, you know, what happens in real life, a search of someone, basically, is to see if they have something physically on them.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You guys with me on this?
I am.
Brant's deep in thought over here. So
no, I'm watching. I'm watching what you're doing with your hands.
But what the administration is saying is because they have this little device in there, in their pocket, that it's not just enough that you have this. You get to look inside this, okay, and find out what's going on in here, that's legal too.
Well,
I think that's where the rub is.
It should be legal for the police to do that.
To look inside the cell phone?
Once they have a court approval to do that.
Okay, now that's different, though. That's a warrant.
Yes.
We're talking
once
no
warrant
here.
Once a warrant is issued, yeah. I don't believe the president or any of his minions should have the right to do that sort of stuff without a court looking at if it's necessary or not. That's not for some elected official to decide. I think I need to go through Brandt's cell phone and see who his known associates are. That's not my business. And unless I can convince a judge someplace that...
We need to look through Brandt's cell phone.
Yeah, that he's got some people about to commit a crime and that I'm working with him on that. And it seems to me you need to have a court involved. And if Obama wants to give away all of the Bill of Rights, then the terrorists win. We've lost our democracy if you no longer have a presumed right to privacy.
Now, remember, we've talked about this before, and I'll ask Brandt the same question. Are we playing under a different set of rules now because of September 11th?
Okay, Brandt, fire away.
Man, you and I are, why are we agreeing so much today, Raj? I don't know, maybe it was that full moon last night. I mean, look, Roger's exactly right.
I'm going to run out and buy a lotto ticket.
You cannot search someone without a warrant. I mean, this is, as I'm holding up, and people listening obviously can't see, I'm holding up my iPhone right now. You can't. I mean, that's just what it is. We've got emails. We've got text messages. We've got conversations. You've got, your Facebook and your Twitter accounts and all this information stored in one spot. And you have a tremendous amount of information about one person. And I just think it's fair and easy enough to go and petition the court to seek that information. And if it's an emergency, you know what will happen? They can go to the court. The judge, if it's in the middle of the night, will get out of bed and issue the warrant. If it's an emergency situation, it can happen very, very quickly. I don't know that it needs to happen so instantaneously that the cops just be able to storm in and commandeer your information. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, to answer Jim's question, because I'm not dodging it, after September 11th, we do live in a society today after September 11th where we have to be cautious of these things and we do have to watch out for these things. And I fully support the president before him in their initiative to seek out terrorism in this country. And so if by and through that they need to be able to execute warrants to go get information, then go do it. I don't know that you should be willingly free and able to just get that, pull it out of somebody's pocket more or less, and just start searching it without a warrant.
There are special courts that have been set up to allow federal officials to proceed at near lightning speed, not having to go through the usual process to get a warrant. If they think there is an imminent attack on the country about to take place, we don't need to abridge the Bill of Rights to do this without some sort of supervision.
Okay.
Man, not often do I agree with Roger or the ACLU.
I know. Hey, John, how you doing? Thanks for holding, by the way.
Hey, yeah, I'm going back to what Roger said at the very beginning of this conversation about Obama. I mean, he is completely misrepresented himself back when we first elected him. He was going to be the guy that was going to get us away from all this, even though he was a Democrat, and Democrats are probably more for the government oversight of a lot of things than the Republicans are. But for us liberals, he was the guy that was going to end a lot of this crap that Bush started, this violation of our privacy and all this other stuff, the Patriot Act, all this stuff, and Obama has totally, it's like, who do you vote for now, really? I mean, they're all bought and paid for, Democrat, Republican, who's going to protect the citizens? I mean, we're all, it's just gotten to the point where it's like, who's in charge? I mean, obviously not the president in the things he talks about when he wants to get elected, because somebody else is evidently overruling him, or he's just going along with it right now. They've convinced him that, no, we've got to do this, because he has not followed through on hardly anything that he represented himself on in the beginning.
Well, it's funny, John, that he's petitioning, the administration is petitioning and urging the Supreme Court. They've kind of jumped over a few barriers, and they want the high court of the land to take a look at the Fourth Amendment and say, yeah, but.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court, I mean, any court that you petition for these searches, any court you go in front of nowadays is going to be pretty much lean conservative anyway. I mean, how many people who are for the independence and freedom of the American people are really on are in the judicial system anymore? I mean, really, I'm talking about the hard left liberals. I mean, how many are there, the people that don't want this stuff going on? I mean, pretty much every court and prosecutors and judges are all conservative leaning, so this is going to be real easy for them to pass, and it's just gotten to a point where us citizens, we don't have our rights or privacy anymore. I mean, it's not existent. And because of this 9/11, the Patriot Act, the fear, it's all based on fear.
All right. Well, thanks, John. We appreciate it. Thanks for holding.
You know, John brings up a good point.
Mm-hmm.
It comes
down to... I want to talk about John's
point
as well, by the way. Right.
Managing the electorate by fear. We have been doing that since 9/11. Every time an issue comes up where it's obvious the government is trampling on our rights, be it happening under George Bush or happening under Barack Obama, we bring up 9/11. Oh, well, we've got to be so afraid. We can't have a full functioning democracy anymore because things changed at 9/11. Bull crap. We can't back away from being a democracy and living with our Constitution simply because it's inconvenient or difficult or even dangerous. There.
Okay.
Your turn, Brant.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was the point that I wanted to address that John made is this is not a conservative court issue. He said, oh, you know, I don't think the administration's going to have any problem because he's going to go to all these conservative judges and say, oh, well, because you're a conservative judge, clearly you're just going to trample on people's rights. That is not the case, and that's not the case with any of the conservative judges that I know on the bench today.
Yeah, but our current Supreme Court made the Citizens United decision and allowed corporations to start buying elections. So where would you think the current Supreme Court is going to put the Bill of Rights on their list of priorities?
I don't see the connection there. I don't think I would want to guess because I have to tell you the truth. I think that's this. I bet the Supreme Court would surprise some people. I really do. I think they would surprise some people and say, you know what? If we're going to deal with this, we got to deal with this in a different level, because the rules weren't made at the time when we had cell phones and stuff like that. This technical tsunami that we've been hit with is kind of overwhelmed some of the laws that are in place. But you know, when you look at the basic law, illegal search and seizure, okay, if you have stuff in your phone. In this thing, right, I don't think the government has a right to just go willy-nilly in here and saying, hey, okay? They have to have a warrant to go into your house, right? All right? They, mm-hmm. I mean, they can look outside your house and they don't like your shingles or something, or they assume maybe something's going on. Okay, well, that's fine. But they can't go in there without a warrant. Well, they shouldn't be able to go into your computer or your phone or whatever without a warrant. Like, you know, and I agree with both you guys, so I don't know what's going on here today. It's this wave of agreement or something. I don't know.
Yeah, scary,
but no,
huh?
No, and I think it's time that we stop pigeonholing, and I mean, I know that it may look like it's going to go one way or another, but I would be willing to bet, call me Pollyanna again if you want to, but I would be willing to bet that the Supreme Court of the United States of America would probably surprise some people if they got confronted with this. If they had to make a ruling one way or another, I think the ruling might surprise some people. I really do.
I'd love to be surprised.
I think it'd be surprising. I really do.
We'll have to update this. Yeah. As the surprises develop.
This actually could be the funniest thing that the government's ever done. You're going to love this. It has to do with taxes and some other stuff and religion. It is the trifecta. I'm digging this Earth, Wind, and Fire stuff. We could just play Earth, Wind, and Fire the rest of the afternoon. I bet there'd be a lot of people that would like that. Yeah.
Roger's up. Oh, he's moving.
Yeah, he's moving.
What is that? Is that the moonwalk?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything like that.
Especially the guy his size.
Yeah.
That was the moon and the stars and the Milky Way.
No, I didn't say that, by the way.
That was Jim. I heard where the insult came from.
No, but see, the thing is, he and I can talk like that because we're kind of like the same size, sort of.
Yeah.
You know, we're rotund.
Call it built for comfort, not for speed.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Right.
There you go.
I've got no sharp edges.
That's important. Yeah. Squishy's good.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go. Well, no. What is it Gabriel Iglesias calls? Fluffy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like five different versions. My favorite is this last one. I'm going to have to look. I'll look, and after the break we'll talk about it.
Okay.
But the last one is very funny.
Okay.
This very well could be the funniest thing that the government has ever done, gentlemen. Seriously. We've talked about this group before. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, our friends in Madison, Wisconsin, who want to get rid of the cross in Frankenmuth, and they wanted to get rid of the cross on the Wyoming City Council seal. And then they're doing that. A leader, Annie Laurie Gaylors, the chief of the Freedom For Religion Foundation, she's been told by the United States government that she qualifies for tax exemptions as a religion. They're atheists, by the way, in case you were wondering.
Mm-hmm. Well?
Well, and here's the thing. She says,
technically,
we're not ministers!
You could have a cult of people who hang together and
like
do not believe. Yeah.
There you go. Well, no, they believe, but they're just wacko.
But you can have a group of people who agree to not think there's a God, and they can call that their religion.
Well, here's the Freedom From Religion Foundation is an organized, united by faith that there's no deity and essentially builds fellowship around the beliefs of an atheist. But the Department of Justice said they're eligible for a tax exemption because atheist groups can essentially function as a religion. Okay, and the Justice Department contended that because Taoism and Buddhism don't necessarily include a belief in God either, and they're still considered religions, atheism could qualify as well. She's mad.
She's mad?
She's mad. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. She's mad. The foundation found filed a federal lawsuit after the foundation board voted to give Gaylor and her husband a housing allowance of $15,000 a year. So then they claimed they didn't qualify for the same tax exemption as clergy, okay? So the foundation sued the federal government, and a federal judge said this month that the case can move forward. You know? I think this is hilarious. That atheism could be a religion. You gotta love this.
You know,
the
founding fathers, when they wanted religion kept out of government, they were wise in that decision. This is the kind of crap you get caught up in when you start letting religion into how you run your government.
Now, you got to give her credit.
How many angels can dance on the head of a pin?
You have to give this woman credit for not wanting the tax exemption, I guess, because of that. But I just think it's hilarious that the Department of Justice is using legitimate reasons for saying, oh, no, you get the exemption. You're a religion. Hi, Chris.
Hey, man, where to go with this one? There's so many avenues. I bet, let's start out with the tax exemption.
Well, remember, you're up against a hard break, you know.
You tell me that. But
drive quickly.
So here we go with the tax exemption. She didn't ask for, but she got anyhow. I wonder how many conservative groups didn't get their tax exemption so that she could get hers. That's where I'd start. And then going on to atheism, they're foisting their beliefs on everybody else the same as if you were equally offended by a Baptist minister standing on a public corner, you know, decrying the end times are near. This person's doing the exact same thing. And then for her to turn around and sue for discrimination because she, you know, she says, oh, I don't want the exemption. Oh, wait, the clergy gets more? Well, I'm suing for discrimination. What a hypocrite. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite.
Well, her thing is that she's not a religion. Their organization's not a religion, and she says they're not a church.
I would go with what Roger says. It is that it's a belief system. I mean, you could have a bunch of whack jobs sitting around believing that a banana's God, you know, or that a banana isn't God. That's, you know, your belief system.
But, Chris,
it's the same as everybody else.
Do you think we should let the government decide what's a valid religion and what's not? Where in the Constitution do you point to the government gaining the authority to decide what is and what is not a valid religion?
That's not the argument for the right. That's the argument for the left. The left has determined that it's just like the name of this organization says, freedom from religion. That's nowhere in the Constitution. In fact, I mean, separation of church and state isn't even in the Constitution. It's not in any of the founding documents. It was mentioned a couple times in a couple different letters to a couple different churches, and it was in reference to the federal government cannot tell you, a religion, what you can and cannot do. That's what the context was. It wasn't that we can't have a Koresh, or we can't have a Star of David, or we can't have a cross or the Ten Commandments. None of those things were meant by the founding fathers. In fact,
Chris,
go ahead.
No, see, and I agree with Chris.
Chris, you're wrong. The founding fathers watched why Europeans came to this country, and it was to run away from government's connection to religion and religious persecution.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's what they had in mind. They didn't have in mind that Christians could take over the government of the country.
No.
Simply because they're the majority in this country.
That's not what he's saying. He's saying that Congress cannot designate a religion to be the religion of the United States.
Or a state.
Yeah, that's...
Or do anything that interferes with religion.
No. You're not free. You're not free to not be offended, dude. You are in the United States. You have the right to be offended. In fact, you will be early and often offended.
that's what free speech is all about.
Sure, and free speech specifically goes to two things in the Constitution: freedom of religion and political free speech. Those two things are specified. And now some group comes around and it doesn't want freedom of religion. It wants freedom from religion, and that's completely separate.
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is why doesn't the government just let her go and just say, well, you don't have to have the tax exemption? That's what she wants.
In my opinion, well, I would say that we're looking at, I mean, in light of recent news, what the IRS has been doing has been pretty sketchy. You know, they give tax breaks to people, groups that they like, and they hold up exemptions for several years for groups that they don't like.
Yeah, I mean, they have been discriminating against both liberal and conservatives.
No, show me a liberal group that got discriminated against. I heard that, and then I waited to hear which liberal group got discriminated against.
We'll have to get a list, but I know there have been some. But
yeah, name two.
Well,
name one.
I'm going to have to look. I'll look it up.
Yep.
I will. Thanks, Chris. No, I agree with you. I think the freedom of religion part of the Constitution stipulates that the government, Congress shall make no religion for whatever, you know, and that says that they can't say yes. What I'm wondering here is why is the government fighting this? If these people don't want the exemption, then don't give it to them. Does it really matter?
To be consistent.
Yeah.
We need to talk to Brant about this when we come back.
Okay. Why, because he's smiling over here?
Well, he's gotten off scot-free here, I want to see some skin in the game.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll continue the discussion coming up. CBS News, local news, and then we'll be back. It is the Trifecta, 590 WKZO. Roger looks perplexed. Perplexed, are we? I don't care if Monday's blue, Tuesday's gray, and Wednesday too. Now he's not perplexed.
No, I'm not perplexed.
Now I know he wants Brant's idea, but should we put Andrew on first?
Okay.
All right.
I don't, you're in charge. I know, I'm just the phone
right,
dude.
So, Andrew, we'll give you about a minute or so, and then we're going to talk to Brian. What so you want to talk about the religion thing?
Yeah. Well, I just want to clear something up about because I actually am an atheist. I understand that we're quite the small minority in the United States of America, but the last caller wasn't entirely informed about the subject, in my opinion. It's not a belief system. It's a lack of a belief. I don't believe in Zeus, but there's not a term for that right now because nobody believes in Zeus. So,
well, it depends on who you talk to. You know, that's...
Well, I'm a big Zeus believer.
Yeah, well, you stop it. I think, Andrew, your belief system is centered around non-belief.
Well,
and I think that's what the government's saying. Now, whether or not that's, you know, convoluted or not, I don't know.
Well, right. But, I mean, do we have to classify everyone as what they don't believe in? I mean, you don't believe in Allah, but there's millions of people in the world who do.
But if you're looking at the population of the entire country and trying to assess the belief system of the country, one of the beliefs that would have to be included is to not believe in any kind of deity.
Right.
You can't ignore people who are irreligious when you look at religiousness. If you get my drift.
I think we rambled off course here. Andrew, here's the thing I want to ask you.
Sure.
If the Freedom From Religion Foundation
mm-hmm.
doesn't want a tax exemption, shouldn't they be allowed to not have to take the tax exemption?
Well, what was their reasoning for not wanting the tax exemption?
Because she says they're not a religion. They're not ministers.
Well,
the government says, yes, you are a religion because the definition of a quote religion, according to the Justice Department, also includes atheism under the umbrella.
Gotcha.
So that's the thing. The core thing is this. Look, if these people don't want the tax exemption, then don't give it to them. I think. I mean, come on. If that's the way it is, then let them do what they want to do.
I couldn't agree with you more.
All right, thank you. See? Yep. There we go. Thanks, Andrew. We appreciate it.
So
see,
we had our kumbaya moment.
Yeah, we go. All right. Yeah, okay, now, Brant, you're on the hot seat there, senior.
Haven't we beat this thing to death already?
Sort of. Uh-uh. That's okay.
No, we want to see you kick it a few times.
Let me just go at it one more time.
There you go. Come on.
Look, all right, Jim, you're absolutely right. I'm in here. Being involved in government, I do know this. Government has to categorize things. And so when these things come in, this group has got to be placed in some sort of category. So I'm sure a bureaucrat somewhere said, okay, these credentials means that this group falls into this category, which happens to be a religious type category. And from that, they said, okay, you fit the box, you fit the mold, you're just going to go ahead, we give you the automatic exemption. I don't think it's right. I think if she wants to pay taxes, let her pay taxes. Anyone that wants to pay more taxes is more than willing and able to do so. I wouldn't want to do it. I don't think government has the right to tax you more, but if you want to pay more taxes, be my guest. So if she doesn't think that they fall into the category, if she wants to pay the taxes, I would love to have her check, you know, pay for something in our community. That would be great.
There
if
you
she'd
go.
Like to send that into the feds and then they'll kick it back to us, that'd be great.
I'm happy with that.
Brant, do you see any of this coming from a desire from the government to be neutral and to apply the same standards in the same way? And sometimes that causes them to put irreligious groups in with religions. But that's...
Don't say they're an irreligious group, because religion and faith are two different things. They're religious about their non-beliefs.
Well, now you're muddying the waters even further.
No, I'm just saying.
So they are a religion.
Well, no, but I'm gonna agree with you. I think sometimes we have too much government for our own good.
Oh, I agree with that.
And applying the standards sometimes can be very, very interesting. But I think that if this nonprofit organization decided that they wanted to pay taxes, then you let them pay taxes. I don't care. Seriously. But you have to be really careful with that word religion.
You
because
do?
I think there's a difference between religion and faith. Big difference. Big difference.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that one with beer some night after work.
There we go.
I don't want to get into a debate with you guys over what constitutes a religion and what doesn't.
I don't think that's something to do on the air this afternoon.
Probably not.
That's
I have a
one
red
of those
here
discussions with beer and late in the night. You have to talk about these things.
And I think up for debate should be Monday Night Football, because I believe that Monday Night Football does constitute a religion in some particular cases. My following of Monday Night, I know you're not a football guy, Roger. My following of Monday Night Football, I just think that should fall under some sort of category.
Roger is Mr. Sports, and he has come a long, long way. He really has. We are very proud of him.
Yeah.
He's not going to anywhere near his master's degree, and he'll never approach the doctor sports level that Carolyn does. I'm telling you, Roger is turning into a...
I think Roger knows all the Michigan sports teams now, correct? At least the big ones. I mean, I'm not going to quiz you on some of the minor league ball teams, but I mean, if I said, okay, are the Diamondbacks a team in Michigan, your answer would be...
No.
Okay, see, very good. He's come a long way. That's
I did ask
right.
the question the other day, make the statement that the Pistons will never play the White Sox.
I'm hip, and it won't happen.
Now, and that
that's
is,
a true statement.
Be more factual.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, you got it.
Although I guess I'd like to see him play the White Sox. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? You know, all right, what do you got for a topic over there?
The way the White Sox are playing right now, the Pistons might be able to
beat
them.
They might be able to beat them. That's a good point. But I can't talk. I'm a Cubs fan. You guys
all right,
know that?
So We have a really quick topic here, and it's been mentioned in the news. One of Roger's favorite people, Representative Casperson up in the UP, he and another friend of his would like to jack the speed limit in the UP up to 80 miles an hour.
The only expressway they have runs from St. Ignace to Sault Ste. Marie.
Yeah.
Is that where he wants people to go, 80 miles an hour?
He says, have you ever driven in the UP and gone for miles and miles and miles and not encountered either a vehicle, civilization, anything? And the speed limit is 55. All right, so here we go. The other guy involved in this is Rick Jones, one of our friends here, too. We've talked with him, too. The bill would authorize the state police to bump up the speed limit to 75 miles an hour.
On expressways.
In the highways.
No, yes. It says specifically, it says expressways.
Well, yeah, the freeways.
And the only expressways in the UP is I-75 from St. Ignace to Sault Ste. Marie.
What about US 2?
That's just a two-lane road.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. That's not an expressway.
Yeah, but what if you're not? And what if there's nobody on that highway either?
So they're going to turn the speed limit on all two-lane roads in the state to 80 miles an hour?
Yeah, I think.
No, I think they're only talking about expressways here. They're talking about expressways in the city having a 70 mile an hour limit.
Now,
but Casperson represents the UP, and the only expressway in the UP is the few miles of I-75 between St. Ignace and Sault Ste. Marie.
I think they're talking about because there are cars on that road. I think they're talking about whatever highways go from east to west, US 2, and then whatever one is up near Marquette and goes that route.
Yeah, raising the speed limit to 80 miles an hour on two-lane roads. What could go wrong?
Well, I don't know. One of my favorite comments ever, this could be the comment of the week, from a physics perspective, it's not speed that kills, but suddenly becoming stationary that does.
Well, you know, this is important, but this comes back to what you said earlier, Jim, which, you know, I mean, you know, debating speed limits and you know, whether or not we should be taking third grade tests. I mean, come on now. We got to get some bills in front of the legislature that you know, help put people back to work, right? Create jobs. These bills aren't doing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that. I mean, okay, it's important, but... We got to put people to work.
All right, we'll wrap it up next. It is the trifecta. Roger loves this song. He really does.
This is a good one.
Yeah. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO. Roger's on tomorrow from 6 to 8 here on 590 WKZO. Who have you got on your show there, bud?
Well, we're going to talk more about speed limits with Amy Harden from Democracy Tree.
Okay.
And some interesting feedback she's getting on a blog about the speed limit.
Okay.
And then at 7:40, we're going to talk to former Republican Representative Patty Burkhold about saving dunes along Lake Michigan development. And if you're interested in the speed limit thing, Lori talked to Jim Walker, the executive director of the National Motorists Association Foundation. And we're going to be playing excerpts from that in the 5 o'clock news. And you can also hear the whole thing on WKZO.com under podcasts.
All right. Brant, how do people get a hold of you?
Guys, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
always fun.
Brant.Iden@gmail.com.
All right.
Is the best way to contact me anytime you want. Queries, questions, or conundrums, I'm happy to answer them.
Queries, questions, or conundrums.
Yes. Trifecta brought to you in part today by Lake Michigan Credit Union, the best place for your money. Learn more at lmcu.org. Have a wonderful week and enjoy this great weather. 5 o'clock afternoon news is next. Join Roger tomorrow, 6 to 8. We'll have Brant in again soon. It is the trifecta, 590 WKZO.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.